are Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Friday, July 16th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that can't believe that Shea Weber offer sheet is the gift that keeps on giving. Some news related to that today, which we will get into. To keep track of all of Flyers news, Phantoms news, our episodes, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. You can also send us mailbag questions that way. And if you don't have Twitter, you can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I am Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. On today's show, we're going to talk about some NHL news and rumors that have been floating around the last day or so. Get back into the expansion draft, and it's Friday, so we'll be talking gritty. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. So hit that subscribe button and you'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, so we got a little bit of news related to the Flyers preseason from the Flyers themselves. It appears they're going to do that kind of local event blitz that they have done over the past few years. They call it their community caravan. So starting next Tuesday through the end of August, they'll be hitting North Wildwood, Doylestown, Ocean City, Collingswood, and Falls Township in Pennsylvania. So that seems like it'll be fun. I'm sure Gritty will show up to that.
Yeah, and the pictures always look like it's a really good time, so that's really exciting.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some exciting players and news and stuff for them to highlight on that tour that we will find out about over the next couple of weeks. We also learned about a couple of preseason games. It does look like the regular season is supposed to start around October 13th, and the Washington Capitals posted their preseason schedule, which included two games versus the Flyers. So we know that they will be playing October 2nd at 7 p.m. at home against the Caps, and then Friday, October 8th away against the Caps. So first news about actual games for next season, Danielle.
I know, it's exciting.
Hopefully we'll get some news from the Flyers themselves on the remainder of those games soon. Now, I think the biggest news we heard yesterday as of time of recording was that the Florida Panthers are buying out Keith Yandel. And Yandel has two years left on his contract, so 4 years left of a cap hit for them. The second year, like 2022 to 23, is a bit dicey for them, $5.4 million. But it's an interesting situation because he did not have a great season this past year and is definitely declining, I would say, in terms of his hockey skills. He does have, like I said, the 2 years left on his contract, and he's 34. Is he somebody that we think the Flyers should go after in terms of having a veteran presence in the locker room, as they say?
I don't know. I think at first glance, I would say no, just because I think if you're going to go for that veteran presence, I think I would still just go with Justin Braun, just because you kind of know what he's going to get. I don't think that his contract is going to be anything crazy. And he fits into, I mean, he's already in the locker room. He knows the younger guys. They know him. There's already that relationship there. I think that's who I would go with. I don't think I would take a flyer out on Keith Yandel. And you know, and I'm thinking of this like as either or. I definitely wouldn't think that they both should be on the Flyers at this point. But so, yeah, I think that you kind of already have a guy. Like, I'd rather re-sign Justin Braun than go after Keith Yandel.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that as it currently stands, the Flyers have enough of a veteran presence. Now, if they end up losing like two or three guys to trades or free agency or the expansion draft and they feel like they don't have enough presence, maybe that's something you consider at that point. But I think, you know, as of now, I don't think he's the right fit to bring in. The Panthers also re-signed Anthony Duclair, which, you know, I think we had had some interest in him last season, but he decided to stay in Florida. 3-year deal. That cap hit will be about $3 million per season. So I think that's a really good deal for both Duclair and the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers got a steal, right? Especially with the flat cap. Duclair is definitely worth more than that, and the fact that they can get him for $3 million for 3 years is just it's great. Like, you know, out of the two deals that, or, you know, I guess not a deal because one was a buyout, but I would have preferred the Flyers to get Anthony Duclair for to sign to that contract after the year that he just had in Florida.
Yeah, gotta love that no tax situation down there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, good for them. He was fantastic for him, and that's such a good deal.
Yeah. So we heard some rumblings that they're close to re-signing Taylor Hall in Boston, but nothing official yet. So we'll keep an eye out on that. And the other kind of bigger news situation is in Montreal with their captain Shea Weber that we alluded to at the top of the show, and it's looking like he may not play at all next season due to accumulated injuries. You know, he's had knee problems, foot problems, he had ankle surgery, he broke his thumb, and, you know, he'd missed a bunch of games with that thumb injury toward the end of the regular season, but then wound up playing in the playoffs and, you know, up to the Stanley Cup final. Obviously, that's like, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it definitely is scary. And it's also not surprising. I mean, every regular season, he is out with some type of injury, that it's always surprising that he comes back and he's able to play the minutes that he plays and continue to contribute to the team, because there are so many injuries that he sustained. That it makes you definitely feel for him after, you know, the Stanley Cup final, because that would have been like, you know, the nice icing on the cake for him to win and then just retire, because his body is like so beaten down. But I mean, I hope he just ends up doing what's best for himself and his family, because, you know, hockey is, you know, obviously I love the sport, but they have lives, and there's a life after hockey. So hopefully he is able to, you know, make the right decision so that he can have a healthy, happy life post-hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, with his behemoth of a contract, that's one of the last of its kind signed, you know, in the olden days, as they say, where it's kind of a backwards deal, but there's $12 million, I believe, still remaining to pay out on the contract if he does not retire, and they do this via LTIR. If he retires, the Canadiens and the Preds are on the hook for cap hits for the next 6 years, I think. And it's that whole thing is kind of a mess. They don't have any ruling from the league yet whether he would be allowed to do the LTIR option if he does choose to leave the game. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on, as well as what that does for the Habs protection list, because it seems like they won't protect him now given all of this. And, you know, it'll give them space to protect somebody else, like maybe Sherratt. And so, I mean, obviously, I don't think Seattle would take him, but it changes the game for the Habs as well. Uh, All right, so one more rumor before we get into expansion draft stuff. Little rumblings about the Canucks having Brock Besser on the table for trade option. I believe this happened last summer as well, so grain of salt as always. But he's got one more year left on his contract at a $5.875 million cap hit this past season. He had 23 goals, 26 assists for 49 points in those 56 games for the Canucks, which, you know, the Canucks had a tumultuous season, you know, to say the least, and given all their big COVID problem that they had and everything. So given everything that has gone on with the Canucks, I think that's a pretty successful season for Besser overall. And, you know, what do you think about that? Is that something that the Flyers should pursue?
I think so. I mean, how many times have we talked about the Flyers needing a goal scorer? And Brock is that. He could play in the top six. He's young. I definitely would do it. And I think that this was bound to happen just because of the Canucks cap situation and trying to re-sign Pettersson and Hughes and just the moves that they've made. So, yeah, I mean, if they're serious, I think the Flyers should definitely poke around and see what they could want for Besser and what deal makes sense for both teams. But he's definitely someone that I would love to have on the Flyers.
Yeah, I think it's worth kicking the tires on this as well. All right, so moving further toward the dreaded expansion draft, as a reminder, today was the last day that teams could put players on waivers prior to the draft for buyout purposes, and it's the deadline for players to agree to waive no move clauses. We saw Ben Bishop agreed to waive his for Dallas yesterday, so these things are still happening. And then on Saturday, the big freeze starts in terms of trades, and only Seattle can sign players at that time. Of course, on Saturday, those protection lists are due. And then on Sunday, those lists will get distributed to all the teams. So very busy weekend ahead on that front for the league and for Seattle. And so I just thought we'd check in again. You know, we talked about this at the beginning of the week, but we're here at the end of the week and we're creeping closer to that expansion draft. Do we have any changes to our protected list predictions for the Flyers?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, especially now that we know that Voracek is most likely not going to be protected. I don't think that changes anyone on my list.
Yeah, unless there's some sort of surprise deal that happens in the next 24 hours or so, I don't think we're going to see that. So, of course, that means Claude Giroux and Kevin Hayes with their no-move clauses being protected. And then I believe our lists beyond that matched up with Konechny, Couturier, Lindblom, Lawton, Nolan Patrick, Provorov, Travis Sanheim, Phil Myers, and Carter Hart.
Yes.
I got that right?
Yes, you did.
All right. So we'll see if we were right on that front when we get back to you on Monday. Now, as far as predictions for who Seattle picks, just kind of poked my head around Yield Internet and looked for, you know, different writers' predictions as to who they think that Seattle is going to take. Now, I don't know if these are assuming no deal with Seattle, no sweetener deal, or with a sweetener deal, but nonetheless, I thought it was interesting that there was some variety, but a little bit of consistency, and that, you know, most of who I saw out there said that Seattle was going to take JVR. And in fact, two of the articles that I looked at used JVR as the promo photo for the post of the article. So they seem pretty assured of that pick if they're going to use that as the image associated with the article. And I thought, interestingly, Marissa Njemi, who's been on the show, she is a freelance hockey writer or sports writer, but she covers hockey extensively, and JVR was her pick. Charlie O'Connor picked JVR through the Athletic combined prediction list, and the Seattle Times, Jeff Baker, who's the a beat writer for the new Kraken in Seattle, also picked JVR. So I think those are, you know, pretty reliable sources there.
That does make me feel like JVR could get picked. I don't know why in the last couple of months, I just figured it wouldn't be JVR or Jake Voracek, just because I just couldn't see Seattle taking them. But, you know, with these picks and these predictions, that's maybe making me a little bit more, you know, comfortable with Seattle taking JVR, since I felt like they wouldn't. I don't know why I thought like a NAK or someone of that would be plucked off the Flyers.
Yeah, I think if they decide to go low cost, like we've said, I think NAK or Justin Braun are the two most likely in that scenario, but given a higher salary or just more likely overall, JVR seems to be the conventional wisdom. There's a couple of people out there that have said otherwise. Sam Carcitti tweeted that he thinks they're going to take Shane Gostisbehere. And then Ian Gooding from Dobber Hockey thinks they're going to take Jake Voracek. So I don't know if that's related to the latest rumors or just a different take on it, but you know, so it's not unanimous about JVR, but it is certainly conventional wisdom. Now, something that was not conventional wisdom, the hockey writers and Colin Newby, who acted on behalf of the Flyers in their mock expansion draft, there was an interesting turn of events because they had a process that included trades and deals ahead of it. So Colin magically got whoever was representing Carolina to trade the rights to Dougie Hamilton to the Flyers for Igor Zamula, a second round pick and a fourth round pick, which I think is a miracle. But I also think for trading rights, this seems like a reasonable deal to me.
It really does. I mean, before we hit record, we were talking about how like the no hesitation for this deal, because I do think that it is very fair.
Yeah, I do too. So that changes the protection list to include Hamilton and remove Phil Myers, and then Seattle takes Phil Myers.
Yeah. And if Seattle takes that, like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, given if we get Hamilton,
yeah,
take Phil Myers. Okay.
Yeah.
And then he managed to then try and fill that with Colin Blackwell, who was drafted via the Rangers. So they set up a kind of post expansion draft trade to kind of fill that slot. So, you know, it's not a terrible thought, but I don't know that it's realistic in the real world. In the world of making rational hockey deals, it makes sense, but I just don't know that Carolina would do that in division.
Yeah, that's the only thing, is that the in-division part is what makes me think that they wouldn't. Or if they would, we would have to give a little bit more to entice them to do that, which could be the reason why the Flyers don't go through with it.
Yeah. Well, whoever they take, apparently the Kraken have put together a very long guidebook for new players to the Kraken that they pick in the expansion draft, to give them all sorts of tips and tricks for how to relocate to the Seattle area and get acquainted with the team and the organization and how everything's going to work and like all the logistics, which, you know, I guess it's something that makes a lot of sense, but it's not something you think about from our end of things, which is thinking about the player movement, right? So I think it's really cool that they put that together for everybody that joins the team. I know Vegas had something to that extent, but there was some help amongst the players there between each other in Vegas. But this is apparently a more comprehensive guide. And yeah, So hopefully that helps all these players make the transition. Danielle, we have been talking about Built Bars for what seems like forever, and I'm willing to talk about them forever because they are a soft protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. I love them. They're so good. There's 18 amazing flavors to choose from, something for everyone no matter what you like. And I am currently a huge fan of carrot cake and apple almond crisp.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with any flavor. And the best part is that they are healthy. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. I don't know how they do it, but they somehow combine low calorie, low sugar with high protein and high fiber. And it's great for any type of lifestyle, whether you're on the keto diet, counting calories, or just want more protein in your daily diet.
So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. All right, so not much going on in the land of gritty right now. I'm sure they're just trying to take a break and get geared up for that community caravan that starts next week. So we'll have at least a little bit from Gritty showing up in North Wildwood next week. But there was one post that I saw, and it was on TikTok, and it's entitled The Throw or the Victory Dance. And this is actually kind of funny, and I love it because it's themed with the cake throw, which is, I think, I don't know, Danielle, we've been doing this for a while, but I think this is our favorite Gritty theme.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
So, yeah, there's a, you know, a, I'm sure, staged duck, duck, goose game with somebody wearing a t-shirt that says goose on it. And then Gritty tapping that guy on the head and then getting him to run after him and then, you know, belting him with a cake, which I don't know why Gritty throwing cakes at people is the greatest thing in the world, but it is.
It really is. And like the way he throws the cake, it's just aggressive. And then the fact that it's a cake, like it's just like, geez, it's so funny. Like I will never not laugh when Gritty throws a cake at someone. It's just, I love it.
Yes. And it's, you know, of course, the victory dance afterwards is equally as delightful. And yeah, so that was some really good bonus content on TikTok from Gritty. Appreciate that. And then the other thing is Gritty adjacent. So there was a Twitter user at Riot Workshop who made that Gritney costume. So like a, almost like a Britney Spears crossed with Gritty. They had an apartment flood and so posted some pictures of the Gritney costume and a link to have some donations to replace some of their stuff, which is like really sad. And I know they put out some great content related to Gritney over the past year or so. And so if anybody can help, I'm sure that would be greatly appreciated.
Oh, yeah. I don't. When I first saw this, I thought this was going to be something completely different. But you're right. Like, they give like the best addition to Gritty content. So, yeah, absolutely. If you can help, that sucks. Like the pictures of all the water. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Man, I've had that happen, not a whole house mm-hmm. or apartment, but I had like a kitchen flood once that I wound up having to replace the floor and my refrigerator, and it was such a nightmare. So I can totally relate. So that was it in the world of Gritty this week. So I thought I'd add a Flyers fun thing today, even though we don't always do that on the same days that we have a Gritty thing of the week. And this time, it was the Flyers posting some practice sessions where Igor Zamula, who we talked about on this show, was doing some practices with parachute drag behind him, you know, trying to work on some acceleration skating drills. And it's so crazy. And I have not done the drill with the parachute, but I have done a similar drill where you're actually dragging another player mm-hmm. with their body weight, who is putting their skates in a wedge position to create additional drag. So it's really tough, but it does help you with your acceleration, because once you get rid of that extra drag, you feel like you're going a million miles an hour. So I can kind of feel what he's going through watching this, but it's also cool to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can appreciate it as a fan. You guys trying to get better, appreciate it, but geez, that seems insane. Like, whether you're doing it with parachutes or people, that's just so intense.
Absolutely. So yeah, fond memories of hockey training. Well, thanks for listening to today's show. We will be back again on Monday with updates from protection lists across the league and so much more, including our nemesis of the week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. So if you got mailbag questions or other feedback, you want to tweet us at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email us at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam. Thanks again for listening and have a great weekend. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.